We're turning for our Bible reading this evening to the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, Ezekiel and the chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. We're going to commence to read here at the verse 1. If you're ever looking for a good reference on Ezekiel, Dr. Douglas preached a series of messages many, many years ago in Lisburn Church on Ezekiel chapter, or on the book of Ezekiel, should I say, a tremendous study. And I know that is available through the church, so I would highly commend that to you. Ezekiel chapter 33, and reading from the verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Amen. We'll end our reading at the verse 11. Praying the Lord will bless to our own hearts the public reading of his own precious and inspired word. We're turning back to the portion that we're reading from, Ezekiel and the chapter 33, and the words of verse 7. Here we read in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. Let's just unite our hearts together briefly, momentarily, in prayer, praying that the Lord will speak to our hearts afresh through his own precious word. Gracious God and eternal Father, we humbly bow in thy presence, thanking thee from the very depth of our hearts for thy love toward us. We thank thee for that abundant life that we have already been singing about. And Lord, it is our desire that others would come to experience and to know that life alone that is found in Christ. Do bless as we consider thy word. Lord, I confess my own personal need, for without thee I can do absolutely nothing. Lord, I confess my need tonight to be unctionized, to have the Spirit of God himself equip me and help me to enable me to preach the word. And Father, I pray this evening that thou wilt bless thy word as it goes forth. Speak to all of our hearts. Lord, as thy people, make us to be a thankful people from morning to evening, for we are blessed. We are blessed. Hear and answer prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This here portion in Ezekiel chapter 33 outlines and sets before us the responsibility and the duty of the watchman, that person who was to be taken and set upon the city walls. And they were given this very privileged and yet this very solemn task of being a watchman for the people within the city. We could outline it very simply, the duty of the watchman, that is, just by three very simple things. The watchman was to watch carefully. In other words, the person there appointed, given that task, was to look out from the city walls, and they were to watch out for danger. They were to recognize danger. They were to be alerted to that danger. And therefore, you needed to have an understanding of what danger might be approaching. The watchman was also not only to watch carefully, but to wait patiently. In other words, the watchman was not to be someone who was easily given to sleep. You would certainly not feel secure within a city. If, for instance, there was somebody upon the watchtower and they were looking out, and they were given the reputation of someone who would nod off on the job, someone who would easily, for instance, get up and leave their position. No, the watchman was to wait patiently. The watchman was also to warn faithfully. Upon recognizing danger, there is a watchman would look out from the tower and would see danger approaching. Whether that was in the form of chariots or horses, or even a person approaching, the watchman, recognizing danger, was to take the trumpet and to blow it in such a way as to make a crystal clear blast. He was not to sound forth the trumpet in such a way that the people would not be alerted. No, it was to be a sound that would awaken men and women, and that would bring them to that point of preparation. He was to deliver his soul. The Lord, basically speaking about the watchman, said that he needed to blow the trumpet to warn the people, but if he failed to do that, his blood would be required, or their blood would be required at his hand. In other words, he was personally accountable. It was a very prestigious and a very important position. Look at me here in the verse 3. It says that if when he saved the sword come upon the land, he blew the trumpet, warned the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet taketh not warning. So here's a person who does not heed the warning. If the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. In other words, he was given the clear warning. It was set forth before him, but he didn't take heed. That was his own fault. Verse 5. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. And so the watchman was to be one who would make sure that he would not have the blood of others upon the skirt of his garments. In other words, that he would faithfully warn them and look out for them. Here in this chapter, in Ezekiel 33, we read in the verse 7, that the Lord appointed Ezekiel as a watchman. Notice what it says here in verse 7. The Lord speaking to Ezekiel said, so thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman. I have made you a watchman, Ezekiel, unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. Here the Lord speaking to Ezekiel about that task and that role that he had given to him was making it very plain to Ezekiel that he wasn't just to speak forth his own words He wasn't to go with his own reasoning, but he was to hear the word of the Lord's mouth. He was called, therefore, to have the ear of God, to speak to the Lord, and for the Lord to speak to him, and therefore to take God's word, God's instruction, and to take that word, and to deliver it unto the people. The message that Ezekiel delivered from God is the same message that the saints of the Lord delivered throughout the ages. In fact, it is the same message that is preached this evening throughout our country and further afield. The message, of course, was a message and a calling to repentance and to turn away from sin. Look at verse 11. Here the Lord was saying to Ezekiel, here was the substance of his message. He was to say to them in verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. And here was the Lord speaking, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Can I say that that is the same message that we preach this evening? That in order for men and women to be right with God, there needs to be a turning aside, a turning away from sin, a repenting of heart, a turning to the Lord for mercy and for salvation. You see, the Lord calls you to repent. But the Lord not only calls men and women to repent, he commands them. For God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. It has often been said, and truly so, that every minister, Sunday school teacher, children's worker, youth leader, is indeed a watchman, a watchwoman. Someone appointed by God to watch and to warn souls. But can I say that that is the task, it is a responsibility of every Christian. And the reality is, if you and I, as God's people, are not doing that, if we are not watching for souls, if we are not warning people, then we are failing. That's the reality. It is sad to reflect, isn't it, that across our province this evening, I and further afield, there are many pulpits where, sadly, the message of repentance and faith toward God is not preached. There is not a clear blast of the trumpet. In fact, quite the opposite. As danger is at hand, and as the sinner is in great jeopardy, it is sad to reflect, isn't it, that there are multitudes and they preach not the gospel of Christ, but they preach another gospel, which of course is not the gospel. The trumpet is not blasted loud and clear. Can I say how privileged you have been to sit in a church like this, week after week? Dear man or woman, unsaved, unconverted, what blessings you have received from God's hand on a weekly basis. For time after time, you have been warned faithfully by God's servant, the Reverend Kenny. Time after time you've been told of your personal need of Christ. You've been warned day after day. How privileged and how blessed you've been in that regard. Tonight, I want us to consider three clear warnings from Scripture. I trust that as we consider how the watchman was to blow the trumpet and warn the people, so that tonight, as the Lord's servant, I will clearly warn you of your need of Christ and your need to be saved. First of all, I want you to consider that death is approaching, and this is something that we cannot avoid. Death is approaching, and you cannot approach it. You cannot avoid it. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Psalm 90. Psalm 90 is a remarkable prayer for whilst Many of the Psalms were penned by the sweet psalmist David. And what blessings and encouragement we receive in turning to those Psalms. Here we have a Psalm, Psalm 90. And many believe Psalm 91 as well, that were penned by Moses, the servant of the Lord. Of course, there was no one who knew the Lord like Moses face to face. His name mentioned some nearly 850 times in Scripture. But here, in the Psalm, we find that Moses here is in prayer. And it's a prayer. You'll notice if you have a Bible with a margin, the title of the Psalm, a Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. And what a tremendous prayer this is. What great instruction we receive in this prayer. And here the Lord enables us to consider his greatness. How awesome, how almighty he is. And here Moses in prayer reminds us in verse 1 and 2 about the eternity of God. The very fact that God is everlasting. That God knows no change. And in this prayer we have the contrast. God, he is eternal. He's unchanging. And yet man, he is but dust. He is but ashes. Man, who is but just so weak and frail. Here in this prayer of Moses, we find a remarkable request. Verse 12 here in Psalm 90. That reminds us of the very fact that we're going to die. And the death is approaching us all. And we can't avoid that. Here in Psalm 90 verse 12 where Moses prays, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And this is remarkable, I say, because Moses had been leading the children of Israel throughout the wilderness. And for some 40 years, they've been walking through that barren place. They were encompassed with death. They were surrounded by funerals. Time after time, they were brought to this reality that man born of a woman, he is of few days. And yet they failed to grasp it. They failed to really take it in. You see, it's not enough to have the knowledge. It's not enough to say, well, I know I'm going to die. I understand I'm going to die. You have to be wise and you have to do something about it. Here we find in this verse 12, Moses is really praying here and he's saying, so teach us, Lord, show us, teach us, you teach us, Lord. For we haven't learnt the lesson. We fail in this regard. Teach us that we may apply our hearts on the wisdom. Teach us that we may be wise. Here we find in the Psalm that life is depicted as being brief and frail, and so our lives are. I think we all have used the quotation, how quickly time passes and how time has flown by. Just in the last few days I've been speaking to some people and remarking, it hardly seems like 10 years. It hardly seems, and there are times I'm sure that we're all taken back with just how quickly life has been passing by. And we're not getting any younger. And yet have we really grasped the brevity of life? You're going to hear verse 9 where Moses said, in prayer, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath, we spend our years as a tale that is told. And there, he's basically likening life to the storybook. Now, I'm back to the storybook stage, not with my children, but with the grandchildren. And you get the storybook out, and it hardly seems, but you start the story. Do you come to the final few words and the book is closed? The final chapter is read. And that's just a picture of life. It's a picture of your life. It's a picture of my life. How brief, how short. In our own church in Lisburn, one of our elders has often been heard in prayer. And it's been referred to from the pulpit. Lord, don't let us get our tent pegs too far down into the earth. And the thought, what has been intimated there by that is, Lord, Help us to realize everything around us is temporal. We're going to leave it all behind. We're just strangers. We're pilgrims on a journey. We're just passing through this world. We're not here forever. Don't let us live as if we are here forever. But Lord, help us to be wise. Help us to put things in perspective. Help us to realize that someday we're going to die. That's a reality for us all. Of course, it's a subject that most will try to avoid. We don't like to think about it. And yet, if the Lord tarries, the reality is we shall all die. We will all of us without exception, die. We read in the book of Hebrews, don't we, that it is appointed unto man once to die. Once to die. It's an appointment that has been made. And I'm sure that even over the past while that you've made appointments and with the best intentions you've sought to keep them and you've sought to be faithful to that arrangement, and yet perhaps that appointment has had to be changed, rearranged or broken. That's happened with me recently. And despite our best efforts, the appointment does not stand and it's not kept. And yet here is an appointment that God has made with each one of us. The Lord has made it. It is an appointment in a divine calendar. That day, that hour, that very moment when God will call us, each one, out into His presence. Life is brief. It's short, isn't it? And tonight, I must warn you of the very reality of that fact. That not only is death something that we can't avoid, but we need to prepare for death. The Word of God reminds us to prepare to meet thy God. Because meet God, each of us will. And preparation, my friend, preparation must be made this side of eternity. It must be made before death. How can you prepare for death? By one way alone. By faith. Personal faith and trust in Christ. By turning away from your sin. And just as a watchman there blew the trumpet and warned the people, I must warn you tonight, here is something you need to give consideration to, that death is before you. And you can't avoid it. Tonight, as I look out in a sense as God's watchman, I also want to warn you, not only is death approaching, but also the chariots of judgment are coming. You see, judgment is coming, and we cannot escape it. For it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The judgment. Death is not the end. Death is but the means, a vehicle that will transport us from this world out into the presence of God in judgment. Many people think, don't they? They have this view that whenever it comes to death and they die, they don't deny that fact. But sadly, in our province and further afield, many people have this view that whenever they die, that somehow they're going to go out and stand before God. And in a sense, they're going to tell God certain things. They're going to tell Him, for instance, how horrible a God He's been in the sense of having starving children, for instance. I've actually heard people saying these things. And yet, the reality couldn't be further from the truth. See, man has this image in his mind that when he stands before God, that the Lord's going to take out a great big set of weighing scales and He's going to begin to weigh man, and He's going to weigh his good works against his bad works, etc. And somehow at the end of the day, it will all be all right. It'll all just work out. My friend, it won't just be all right. It will be all wrong. Because man does not have any good works. What does it require for God to accept a person to heaven? God's standard and man's standard are very good, are very different. Man's standard is simply do your best. Do your best, and that's all that's required. When our children come to their exams and sitting their various qualifications, all we can ask as parents is, do your best. We can't ask for A stars. We can't ask or we can't demand perfection. But God does. God's standard is very different from man's. And God's standard, he does not lower that standard for man to be accepted. God's standard is perfection, holiness, righteousness. We don't meet that standard. In fact, we've sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But praise God for one who's met all the requirements of the law of God. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, who lived a sinlessly perfect, spotless life, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who lived perfectly before men and unto God, who kept the law of God. God's law demands perfection. Jesus Christ lived that perfect life. He went to the cross, and there he died as a sinner's substitute. He took my place, and he died for me, the hymn writer reminds us. The Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless, perfect one, there upon the cross, bore away our sin on the tree. Tell me, do you know Christ? You prepared for the judgment that is approaching? Turn with me, please, over to the book of Acts in chapter 18. Because here in Acts chapter 18, we find the Apostle Paul himself referred to the picture of the watchman. In fact, he referred to himself as being God's watchman. And he used this analogy, this picture. Acts chapter 18. It says here in verse 4. And here we find that he's come to Corinth. And he's now with Aquila and Priscilla. And verse 18 and verse 4 tells us. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Now there was Paul preaching, and he was preaching the word of life. What was he preaching? He was preaching forth a person. He was preaching forth Christ. Men and women, there is no other way to heaven. There's no other way to know God than through Christ. It's not by the keeping of the law. It's not by what we do. It's certainly not by what we don't do. It's by a person. It's through Christ Paul was preaching. Here in verse 4 we read that he preached every Sabbath, persuading the Jews and the Greeks. And then he laid strong arguments before them. He sought with every ounce of his energy to lay hold upon Christ with the people and to bring Christ before them. It says in verse 5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ, or as it's rendered, Jesus is the Christ. Verse 6, and when they opposed themselves. In other words, after Paul had blasted the trumpet, after it stood as God's watchman, warning them of imminent danger, and the danger of being unprepared to meet God. Verse 6 says, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. And they knew exactly what Paul was saying. They knew the portion in the Old Testament he was referring to. Paul was faithfully declaring unto them the only way of salvation through Christ. It's not by the deeds or works of the law. How many people there are who think that by being a good person, a good neighbor, doing the best they can, that will get them to heaven. My friend, it's not by what we do that saves us. We cannot please God because we're in this sinful body. We're in the flesh. But there's one who came and he pleased God. He lived the perfect. And you come to Christ and you trust Christ as Savior. That perfect life that Jesus Christ lived, God says, it's reckoned to your account. In other words, it's set against your account. You're declared righteous. The law of God demands a perfect life. Praise God, through Christ, we're accepted. Judgment is coming. And judgment, we cannot escape it. We cannot escape it. Death is approaching. Judgment. Tell me, are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you personally safe and secure in Christ? I was reading today of those in Scripture calling for the rocks and the mountains and the hills to fall upon them. Why? Because the Lord had come back and the Lord was going to bring them to the judgment bar. But unconverted and unsaved, they cry for a covering, but there's none found. My friend, you're in danger. Real danger if you're not saved. Danger of going out before God unprepared, unready, unsaved. But tonight, Jesus Christ stands before you as Savior. Remember hearing many years ago the account of the time whenever Abraham Lincoln served as a judge in the law courts. That was before he became president. He'd spent some time in the bar and working in the courts system. The story is told of how he was out in the fields one afternoon. He noticed a young man plowing with a team of horses. That was a familiar sight. But then something startled the horses, and the young man, his jacket became entangled in the harness of one of the horses. And the horses set off at great pace down the furrow, dragging that young man to what would be his death. Except Lincoln stepped in. He records of how he went into the field with great haste. He had no thought for his own life, threw out his arms. And he stopped and he got the horses brought to their halt. He stopped them. The young man's life was spared. Many years later, that young man came to trial for the crime of murder. He had murdered a man in cold blood. Whenever he was brought into the courtroom, no doubt his heart must have been aroused, and he thought, well, surely there'll be mercy for me here. Because he couldn't believe it, that the man who had spurred him that day was none other than Lincoln, who was now the judge. And the thought was, surely there'll be some leniency here. The case went forward. At the end of the proceedings, Lincoln called the young man to his feet. Young man, for the crime of murder, I sentence you to death. But sir, don't you understand? Don't you realize who I am? Don't you recognize me? Don't you remember the day in the field? How you spared my life that day. To which Lincoln replied, yes, I remember. That day I stood before you as Savior. But today, I'm appointed as judge. And in my office as judge, I can do no other. I sentence you to death. And he was dragged from the courtroom, screaming, pleading for his life. Tonight, Jesus Christ stands before you as Savior, the only Savior. The only way to God is through Christ. He's the only Savior, the only mediator, the only go-between. But if you reject Him and you die without Christ as Savior, you will meet Him in judgment only as judge. Because of the white throne judgment, there is no second chance. There is no Savior. There is no salvation. You need Christ now. Can I say in closing, Just very briefly, not only is death coming, judgment is approaching, but eternity is before us. And my friend, you cannot reverse eternity. As the tree falls, there it lies, whichever direction. And if you live without Christ as Savior, and you die without Christ as Savior, you will be lost, now listen to me, forever without a Savior. Forever. It's either heaven or hell. Christ or the world. Saved or lost. There's an interesting study in God's Word with regards to the words that only occur once in Scripture. I'm not going to go into that in any form or fashion. But there are, it's a study perhaps you could carry out sometime, and words that just occur once. Calvary is one of them. Grandmother, and there are lots of other words. But one of them is the word eternity. Eternity only occurs once in Scripture, and it's found in Isaiah 57, verse 15, where we read, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place." Tell me, are you ready for eternity? After death, the judgment. You saved. I'm so glad, as a Christian, that as a child of God, my eternal destiny has been settled. That was at the cross. There are many here tonight, the majority, who know and love the Lord. It's well with their soul. But what about you? Come to Christ. Trust Christ. Flee from sin. Be born again. Be ready to meet the Lord. Let's just bow together in prayer, please. Father in heaven, we realize that this evening that we have but one brief short life. So short in the light of eternity. We would pray, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, take the stammering words of man and apply them to hearts. Father, we want to thank thee that in mercy thy Spirit warns us about life, about death, about the judgment, about eternity. And we pray for precious souls here in the congregation that thou wilt impress these truths upon their hearts. May they leave their sin and flee to Christ for refuge. We pray this evening that men and women will be born again of the Spirit of God. Take us all to our homes in safety. Watch over us throughout the remainder of this thy day. And grant that in our going out and our coming in, that we will be kept under the shadow and the shelter of the Almighty. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.